do a better job of staying on time during this session, because we have another session coming behind us, and I want to make sure I save a little time for Reen to make a few remarks at the end. So our next speaker is Fred Zhang from Pacific Northwest National Laboratory.
Good afternoon, everybody. Well, first, I'd like to thank Reen. I have the chance to come to this session. The talk here, in the future, we will have used the Van Gluck model to the numerical modeling, but now we are starting. I knew Reen in 1997 in Riverside when I was a graduate student, and I was briefly introduced to him, and then I think I knew him, but he probably won't know me. But 5 years later, we met in Nanjing, China, and we introduced again, and I go the name with Fred. But he said, "Your real name is Zhai Fang, is that right?" I was shocked, because my name, probably nobody can remember my Chinese name. Even Chinese can have a hard time. So, but he remembers my name. So I believe he knew all of you in person. So that is Reen. Well, today my talk is still soil physics, but from a very different aspect and using a very different flow, that is foam. Well, Reen knows what is foam if you drink beer. Bubbles. So what is the reason we do foam? Well, this is the environmental remediation issue. We know in the nation, especially the Department of Energy's nuclear waste site, there are many, many types of metals, nonmetals, and also radionuclides. So these are the number of sites, DOE sites. These are that there are two different types, the groundwater contamination and the soil or sediment contaminations. So DOE has a mission to clean up these sites, and remediation technologies certainly are needed. At the same time, we need to know the transport process to measure, monitor, and model the process. Traditionally, many of the solution-based remediation has been used for soil flushing or to inject the solution so that the amendments in the solution can react with contaminants. So the precipitation will be produced and the contaminant will be fixed in the soil. The problem with this method is solution will have the gravity has strong impact on solutions. So it may produce strong downward movement and even enhance the contaminant's downward movement. So that is the problem. So now we come to the idea is the what about the foam? Foam is bubbles. The density is very small. Well, you see, let's see, what is foam? This is the picture of foam, similar to beer bubbles. It has very high volume of gas, a very low content of water or aqueous phase with surfactants in it. The difference from the foam which we consider as a fluid is it's a non-Newtonian fluid. It has the large surface area, so it can carry some remediation amendments. The foam flow is controlled pretty much dominantly by the pressure gradient because it's very large effective viscosity. Here, the third said foam is a non-Newtonian shear thinning fluid. Well, here you may ask, what is that? Okay. Shear thinning means the apparent viscosity of the fluid decreases with increased stress. That means the viscosity is not constant in the system. Examples are like syrup or ketchup, paint, blood. So if they don't move, they stay there. But once they start to move, they tend to keep moving and with a sure smaller viscosity. Foam has this property. So why do we use foam in the remediation? Wade-Stone remediation. So the bubbles in the foam tend to block large pores in the coarse zone, high permeability zones. And that means relatively easier for the bubbles to penetrate into the lower permeability zones. So it will better for remediation purpose. For the heterogeneous soil or formation, so the bubbles generally show a little bit more uniform movement in the heterogeneous soil. So the objective for this work is some experiment work using column foam movement in the column, and we try to use our soil physics theory to describe the movement and use some analytical solutions. Also, I would like to talk to about the mobility. It's equivalent to the hydraulic conductivity, but here, because we use the pressure gradient, it becomes the mobility. Well, we all know this equation very well. But for foam, this term is mobility, is very different from our traditional concept, because we just mentioned foam is a non-Newtonian fluid. So this foam mobility varies with foam quality and flow rate. Well, here is foam quality defined as the volume fraction of gas within foam. It's maybe 90% or 95% is just defined gas fraction. Flow rate, this is flow rate. But in the lab, we control the flow rate using pumps. When the flow rate changes, the gradient changes, the mobility also changes. So this is the most difficult part to define. So we have to find a way to define this parameter before we can model the transport of foam. Of course, because the gas foam is also compressible, we cannot neglect the volume change, especially the pressure change is significant. So we did some column experiment in a laboratory using smaller 5 centimeter diameter and 30 centimeter long columns. We did two types of experiments. One is the steady state condition, what is the pressure change gradient. And also, we also did a couple of experiments for transient process to monitor the pressure change with time, the foam front movement, and also water uptake by the sediment. Here, I'd like to talk about the foam mobility we determined based on experiments. The experiments, we controlled at a different injection rate. Here, I used the V0. We converted to the volume injection rate to the standard pressure condition, because when the pressure changes, this value will change. So this number has been converted. The same thing we use here's complementary foam quality. It's the difference here. Also zero, that is converted to the 1 atmosphere condition. So we can use the constant value. So this is the relation we found based on experiments, the empirical relation for foam mobility. We know that because the mobility varies, so we have to define a reference condition to say, okay, this is a reference the mobility for the reference condition. It's arbitrarily selected. We have the reference injection rate, reference foam quality. Then we found that foam mobility under any other injection rate, foam quality, somehow follow this relation. It's the power function. These are the two constants to be determined. This plot shows the experiment results. Each point is an experiment. It's a steady state experiment. So it's a vertical axis, the foam mobility. This is horizontal is complementary foam quality. They are plotted in log scale. So each one is at a specific injection rate and at a specific foam quality. So we determine a foam mobility with this relation. We found that all the points can be predicted very well with the line. These lines are the predictions. Or we see the fitting lines, the same thing. We fit the lines. The next part we want to determine is the movement, the transit movement. So we have to conceptualize the foam transport process. So here, the soil is not completely dry, but very dry. When foam enters into the soil, it won't stay initially when the soil is very dry. The soil must be wet enough, wetter than a critical value, that is a critical soil water content. Here is also we see the steady state soil water content. So foam bubbles can stay. But we can, after that one, there is a clear foam front. Beyond it, it's dry. Then within it is foam. We have to assume that within the foam region, the mobility under the specific condition of injection rate, foam quality is a constant value in order to derive some solutions. We also assume the movement is the piston type. There is a sharp, we have a sharp foam front. So beyond it, the pressure is the same as the ambient pressure. The injection part, the injection rate is constant, so the injection pressure increases with time. This is the pressure relation, steady state under steady state condition. For a column of length L, so at any location, it has this relation. So it actually is a function also of the ambient pressure, the outlet pressure matters also. Other variables like the foam quality, foam mobility also affects the pressure. These are the measured inlet pressure and also the predicted values. So each one is a steady state value. So at different injection rate, we have three rate and different foam quality values. So they don't follow the same one line because a few variables affect the movement, the pressure. After the steady state part, we try to develop relations for the transient part. So we use the basic mass balance to determine the where is should the foam front go. So we have two parts. One is the unbroken foam, that is the foam still in the bubble condition. And also part of it will break down as gas and also aqueous water. So using this together, and we, based on mass balance, determine the travel time. So this is the result with measurements and the model predictions. We see that there are some differences here between model and predictions, but there are many factors probably to conceptualize, to simplify the process, and to have to assume constant parameters. But we follow the general trend.
About 1 minute.
Okay. This plot shows the pressure, inlet pressure. Generally okay, but there are some differences. So we, for the foam process, conceptually we still need better to describe the process. And also we don't know much about the actual foam dynamic process. So we need more work needed to be done to better describe the process. I will skip that one and summarize my presentation. So we know that aqueous foam may be used as the carrier for the remediation of vital stone contamination. But we know that foam is a non-Newtonian fluid, so its viscosity or effective viscosity varies. That will be the key part to describe the foam transport. We've developed some simple analytical solutions, expressions based on the piston type of flow, but it looks we can pretty describe the foam transport generally okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Fred. Let's save the questions for the discussion section at the end. Next speaker is Fred Moles from Clemson University.